have your Bibles. Take your Bibles to the book of Daniel. And may this kind of really encourage, stir our hearts again. You know, my mom would always tell me, you know, learn from your mistakes. You know, she would tell that to me growing up, but she would always say, but if you could learn from someone else's mistakes, so much the better. And I'm reminded of that here. This is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, how God humbled him. But the title of tonight's message, Pride, Prayer, and Praise. Pride, Prayer, and Praise. Now, the one we tend to have a lot of. Another we can't do when we're full of the former. And the one is all that we can and should do. But let's go to Daniel chapter 4. And we'll see what the Word of God has for us. Daniel chapter 4. And let's go to verse 30. We'll start there. Ezekiel, Daniel 4, verse 30. In fact, I'm going to just read the first, I'm going to read just the two verses, 30 and actually 37. And so they're completely opposite in context. Verse 30 is a completely proud statement, and verse 37 is a completely praise statement. And God does something to Nebuchadnezzar from verses 31, basically to 34, okay, but 31 to 33. But God moves in his heart and life from 31 to get him all the way to 37. And God does it. He humbles him. But let's go to verse 30. The Word of God says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And then this is Nebuchadnezzar after God dealt with him. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Amen. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. And Father, we thank you so much from the comfort of who you are, your word, and your love and mercy to us. And Father, again, we lift up those hurting, Lord, and we grieve with them. But Father, beyond that, we know that you suffer with them, with us. As we suffer, you suffer. And Father, we know that we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he knows full well about pain and suffering and hurt. And so, Father, we ask again mercy for those who are hurting, comfort and healing according to your will. Father, that you be glorified through this trial. Draw us closer to thyself. And Father, we just ask that even now you bless the preaching and teaching of thy word. Prepare our hearts even for the prayer time to come. Father, I thank you for the blessings in my life. I thank you for using me, for exalting me, Father. But may I never in the flesh get caught up and even once think it's me. It's never me, Lord. It's by you and for you. That is why we are here. You made us for your good pleasure. We are made by you and we are made for you. And so, Father, help me, help us to learn from Nebuchadnezzar, Lord, and just from your word. But, Father, how you are so gracious to us, Father. And so, Father, we love you. Help us, Lord, to, again, prime our hearts with humility as we would pray and praise to you in a little bit here. And we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pride. Boy, that's no stranger to any one of us, you know, and it's easy for us to have pride and easy for pride to mushroom and kind of go out of control. And the thing about pride, sometimes it can be so blinding where we don't even realize that we're doing it. But look at verse 30. Again, this is Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know what the context is, you know, and if this was me, though, I can picture myself this maybe on a one evening, beautiful weather, you know, and I'm walking out on my balcony there in my ivory tower. I look across all my lands that I have conquered, that I have built up. Hey, that statue over there looks pretty good impression of me, you know, and I see my empire, and perhaps I'm taking it all in, you know, and that's kind of what I picture, okay? And he's speaking, really speaking to himself, but of course, and the king spake and said, you know, like, yeah, wow, isn't this, wow, I did pretty well for myself, haven't I? You know, and so he's saying this, it's not this the great Babylon, the legendary Babylon, the fabled Babylon that I did all this, that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the power of my power, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar thought it was all him, his accomplishments, his successes, his kingdom. Of course, he finds out that it was all God. In fact, God humbles him, and we'll get to that, in fact, in a little bit here. But as that process unfolds, in fact, as we read the rest of scriptures, we find out that, of course, God had intended to exalt Nebuchadnezzar in the first place so that he can be used of God to oppress Judah, right? And to bring Judah into captivity. That was part of God's larger purpose. So I just want to share a couple of things here. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. And understand, of course, just like Nebuchadnezzar, God can certainly exalt anyone, use us for his purpose, but may I never get a big head that it's me. No, I'm just a tool in the master's hand, just an instrument in his his symphony, just one of his many servants. May I never get ahead of myself and be thankful that God uses us. But may I never get, you know, just puffed up in my pride that, oh, it's all me, it's not me, it's God's grace. And so let's go to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, again, God's plan revealed to Jeremiah, to Judah, but this is what God has always intended. Jeremiah 25, let's go to verse 1. And we see here, yes, God did raise up Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, but they were really just the chastening rod that he could bring against Judah, right? And so verse 1 says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, but it's Nebuchadnezzar, same person, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah, the prophet, spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying. So meanwhile, on the other side, several countries apart, you know, regions apart, we have Judah, and of course God is so grieved with them, and God's heart is breaking. They refuse to repent, and says that from the 13th year of Josiah, king of Ammon, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. Week after week, month after month, year after year, Jeremiah's plea to repent has fallen on deaf ears. They don't want to do it. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants and prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Now, it's amazing because God is going to humble Judah. And it's almost as though, you know, I think of us human vessels. What is it that like that whack-a-mole? Okay, you ever played the arcade game, the whack-a-mole? They pop up and you hit them down. And so, you know, Judah is getting too puffed up here. God's going to whack him down. And then, oh, Babylon's popped up now because God used them to humble. Now they're up. Now God's got to humble them. You know, but it's a continual thing with our flesh that it feeds off pride and it inflates itself on ego. And so that's something to be mindful about. Always God is desiring to humble his people. Humble, he keep them humble. They said, turn ye again now everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your doings and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and your fathers forever and ever. Serve the Lord. Be content. Be humble. Be thankful. Don't seek after false gods. Why do that? God already blessed them. They already are in the promised land. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and provoke me not to anger with the words of your with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, so here's the verdict, here's the judgment. I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my what? Servant. My servant. Again, Babylon had its height. Of course, it was taken over by the Assyrian Empire after that. But at this time, the Babylonian Empire, I mean, was cream of the crop. And even then, the king of Babylon, in God's eyes, is a mere what? Servant. A mere servant. And will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolation. Boy, God was going to bring the judgment and really to humble Judah. And God was going to raise up Babylon to accomplish this purpose. And here's the amazing thing. Of course, yes, Nebuchadnezzar was used of God to humble Judah, but of course he took the credit upon himself. He thought it was all him. Also, by the way, he delighted in conquering God's people, which is not what God desires. If you want to skip to chapter 50 of Jeremiah with me, just kind of a quick sneak peek here. Jeremiah 50, let's go to verse 9. Jeremiah 50, verse 9, and a little too much pleasure in himself being used of God, Jeremiah 50, verse 9. Now, this is a judgment against Babylon, and here's why. And so Babylon is going to get what's coming to him because of, well, the prophecy here, verse 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. The arrow shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. And so Babylon in turn now is going to get conquered. Why? Because ye were glad, because ye rejoice, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as an heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. God desired to use them for his glory, for his purpose. May I always keep in mind that may God use me for his glory, his purpose, not my own. In fact, if you look at Jeremiah 51, next chapter over, Jeremiah 51, verse 33, God calls out Nebuchadnezzar by name. Jeremiah 51, verse 33, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a thrashing floor. It is time to thrash her. Yet a little while, and the time of a harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say. So God is quoting what Israel would say concerning Nebuchadnezzar. And my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place of dragons, an astonishment and an hissing without an inhabitant. And so probably, just my guess, at least myself, if I was living in that time to see the grandeur of Babylon in its heyday, certainly the last thing that I and my human mind would consider is that, hey, you know, this thriving metropolis and empire of Babylon, one day is going to be gone. May I never forget that God exalts who he wants, and God humbles who he wants. And there's this, and I think of our nation, I think of our country, in the golden age of America, you know. But my friends, if we turn our back to God, we are done. In fact, we have turned our back to God. And so as a whole. And so just pray. Maybe be the faithful remnant. But and so that's as a country, as a nation. We can think of it as a church, right? You think of the Laodicean church. You can think of it as a family. You can think of it as our own testimony, right? In the height of the glory days of King Solomon. I mean, the Queen of Sheba came from the south. I mean, just to find out, and oh, it's even so amazing. It was even better than I thought. And then Solomon's tenure ended in ruin. In fact, the kingdom would have been completely cast away if it were not for God's promise to David, right? I mean, he retained two tribes to his son, the rest to the servant. Ended horribly. And so may I never get ahead of myself and always be mindful that God hates pride. And God, yes, he exalts us to fulfill his will. It might put me in different positions, whatever the case may be, but don't be prideful about it. That new job I have, that new promotion, that good health report, whatever the case is, may God accomplish his will in my life, in ours, in this church, in my family. Pride. Number two, prayer. Prayer, of course, impossible to do in the spirit when we are full of pride. True prayer needs a humble heart. And so when we do pray, may we be humble about it. And perhaps if I'm going through a hardship, God not just is aware of it, he very well is orchestrating it, and perhaps that humbleness I need more of, so I can. And by the way, when God truly delivers us from whatever predicament we are in, at the end of the day, all we can do is praise him. All we can do is praise him, because there was no more hope. There's no chance. Without God intervening, we were done for. We were done for. Okay, and so it's we don't like to go through hardships, but God knows we need it. And so this, of course, is Nebuchadnezzar's, he's being humbled here. Let's go back to Daniel 4. And so what happens? In fact, point number two, God can humble us severely and suddenly if needed. In fact, this is so sudden. Okay, so literally, look at verse 31. Verse 30, he's just done bragging, right? And so verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth. And so he's kind of still talking. But there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, would have been something else to be right there like a fly on the wall to actually hear what that voice sounds like. Some type of booming voice, I don't know. Okay, but O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. I mean, he literally just got done bragging how he's made it. He's all good to go, and he's done everything for his own majesty. And here it is being warned by God that he's going to lose everything. God can humble us quickly and suddenly, severely. In verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men. Boy, so now he's not just going to lose it. I mean, he's going to be worse than the poorest pauper. I mean, he's going to lose everything. Drive thee from men. I mean, from society, he'd be an outcast. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee. The idea is 7 years. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. I mean, this is pretty this is pretty severe. And God turned him almost like to a very animalistic. Okay, so he lost the privilege of even living in society. I mean, he's just an utter outcast. God's got a plan and a purpose, and God hates pride, and God humbles us. And by the way, perhaps if we've never been humbled this severely like Nebuchadnezzar, well, praise God for that. But certainly repent. If there's anything in my life that I need to get right with God, repent before we are humbled like this. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, right? We're partaking of the Lord's table. He told them, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Just like the Ninevites. They feared the wrath of God. They repented, and God said, okay, I'll let up. Okay? And like the prodigal son, or in fact, unlike the prodigal son, who should have repented when he began to be in want, right? He should have repented then. Well, he should not have sinned to begin with, but when he sinned and went to the faraway country, picturing sin, right? And when he began to be in want, he could have repented then, but instead he doubles down on sin, right? And then joins himself with a citizen of that country, then gets, not till he's at the bottom of the barrel, right? But God hates pride. And lest we be humbled even to this extent, be quick to repent. Be quick to repent. Our prayers must be always accompanied with humility. Thankfulness, but always humility. I don't want to be like that Pharisee that goes into the temple with the publican, right? The publican knows that he's a sinner. He just asks for mercy. The Pharisee is just all puffed up with himself. And then lastly, praise. At the end of the day, when God delivers us, all we can do is praise him, which is exactly what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. And so 7 years later, look at verse 34. And so he's gone through the gauntlet here. I mean, we read over in just three simple verses, 31, 32, 33. But I can't even imagine how it would be like to be Nebuchadnezzar. It's kind of hard to kind of picture it, but it happens. And look at verse 34. And so he's gone from being proudful to being humbled. And so now verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. It really sounds like he got saved, if you will, okay, to use that New Testament, you know, vernacular. Regardless, he really sounded like he got right with God. He got right with God. And so what a testimony. Keep going here. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He got it. We are nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God doesn't report to anyone. He's the very, very top. He's the creator. We are the clay. He's the potter. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, God blessed him. But this time, leading up to verse 37, he doesn't repeat. He's learned this lesson. Hey, amen. He doesn't repeat what is said in verse 30. Now, in verse 37, all he does is praise God. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, no longer himself, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, now he's saying, you know, like me, he is able to abase. Even with the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, which is, by the way, a wonderful truth. Probably my two biggest takeaways from the Lord's Prayer, you know, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Number one, Jesus emphasizes God's will, God's glory, not ours. And then it's all for him. And then number two, it's Father. It's Father. And then Jesus, right away from Luke 11, he expounds on, hey, if your son asks you, of course you as a dad is going to give. If you as sinful dads can give that, how much more our Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit? And so the idea is that it's for God's glory. But that relationship that we have is as a child to his Father. That is awesome. That is awesome. More than just a believer to God, okay? It's a son or daughter to God the Father. That is, there's an amazing closeness when it comes to prayer. So we have no reason not to pray. But may we pray in humility, pray in thanksgiving. May we praise him at the end of the day. In fact, the scripture tells us, if you read Ephesians 1, when it's all said and done, and we're right there in the presence of God, it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. In other words, it's not for us, it's for him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a reminder, Lord. I thank you for your goodness to me. And Father, that even as you've raised me up to where I am today, it's not for my own purpose, it's for yours. I thank you, Father, that you have raised me up, that you've given me so much. Lord, may I always give you the credit. That I know that it's not by me, and you could certainly have done it to anyone else and done it, you know, however you want it, Lord. And Father, we are just so thankful. Help me to be quick to repent, quick to hear, slow to wrath. And Father, I thank you again for the saints even tonight. And bless now this time of corporate prayer. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank